Can I ask you a super serious political question?
Of course.
Which member of Congress do you think has the best face mask?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe Richard Shelby. He has a University of Alabama face mask.
Roll Tide, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's got a lot of school pride.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, as congressional leaders from both parties try to get it their way in negotiations for a new coronavirus relief package, Marianne Levine on which way the political tide is going to roll.
If we act today, what Americans will remember and what history will record is that the Senate did the right thing.
During the last coronavirus negotiations, we were really at this moment of urgency in the country.
The clock has run out. The buzzer is sounding.
In the sense that there was a lot of uncertainty about how coronavirus was going to spread. It was unclear how the economy was going to be affected. Obviously, the stock market was going down a lot. This was back in March. And so there was really this air of uncertainty in the sense that Congress really needed to act immediately to get something done. So they put together a $2 trillion package in basically record speed for the Senate, probably in a matter of a little over a week. At one point, it seemed like talks were going to break down. Because Senate Republicans began writing their proposal and Democrats felt like they weren't properly included.
We believe the help should be aimed at people, not at corporations.
And basically we had a slight unraveling, but then it all came together and everyone basically put together a $2 trillion package in a matter of a few days, which is pretty remarkable for Congress. The environment this time around is a little bit different. Everyone in both parties wants to see another package, but there's not the same type of mood that we had back in March, which is going to make this a lot harder.
Well, I know there are a couple fault lines already emerging in negotiations. Probably the biggest is between Democrats in the House and the Republican-led Senate. What are they at odds over?
Well, one thing that looks like is going to be probably the biggest sticking point is what to do about unemployment insurance benefits. The last CARES package included a $600 boost for unemployment benefits. Those benefits are set to expire in the coming days. And so Democrats are arguing that there's a real urgency to see those extended. Now, Republicans, however, are not eager to see the benefits extended because they argue that some people are making more money off of unemployment insurance than going back to work. So they're saying, you know, we're not super enthused by this idea, whereas Democrats say that this is basically a lifeline for workers. So it's definitely a difference in ideology in terms of how to get the economy going again. But that seems to really be one of the biggest sticking points we're going to see.
You're also reporting that within the Republican Party itself, there's tension. Where is that coming from?
So one area where we're probably going to see some tension is on the payroll tax cut.
It's a big saving for the people. It's a tremendous saving, and I think it's an incentive for—
And basically, the White House is trying to push very hard for a payroll tax cut. This is an idea that does not have a lot of support within the Republican caucus.
So payroll tax cut to me is very important. We're working on it.
So we're seeing some tension right now play out between Senate Republicans and the White House. The White House is also not as enthused to push for a lot of money for the CDC or for testing, which is another priority. And then you have the other issue, too, of some Senate Republicans who are not enthused about all the spending that's going on and don't want to see another large package.
The legislation that passed months ago in the spring was huge. It included bailouts, small business help, expanded unemployment, literal checks sent to people at home. And now, from what you're saying, I mean, there's division over what seems like the smallest details. It feels like every element of the virus has become politicized some way, including funding for testing. What do you think has changed between then and now?
I think a couple things. In March, we had a lot of uncertainty over what this meant, how long we'd be in shelter in place. There was kind of, I think, the uncertainty factor. We're also getting closer to a presidential election. And whenever you're getting close to a presidential election, things get much more complicated and things get much more politicized a lot faster. Senate Republicans are seeing the president's poll numbers not particularly high right now, and Senate Democrats are starting to feel more and more optimistic about taking back the Senate. So there is this suspicion on both sides that the other is going to just try to score political points, and we are very close to a presidential election.
How exactly does the election influence things? Does that lead to both parties playing more to their bases, or does it lead to advocating for parts of a package that might influence swing voters?
I think it's likely to influence both parties to play to their base and tell their voters that, you know, the other side is blocking XYZ proposals. So I think that that's a challenge. I also think a lot of the Senate Republicans who are up, who are more vulnerable, are really going to be pushing to see Congress get something done because they want to show they've delivered for their constituents.
There's been a trend of increasing cases of coronavirus over the past few weeks, also jumps in deaths in some states. Do you think if we continue along this path, regardless of these polarized fronts, it'll force Congress, force the White House into another massive bipartisan deal?
Well, they're going to have to get a bipartisan deal done, right? There's just given the Democratic control of the House and the 60 vote threshold. So it does feel like there's a sense of urgency to get something done, given the given Trump's poll numbers. And also, I mean, one thing that Senate Republicans always said was that they wanted to see how the money from the previous CARES package played out and wanted to revisit the issue in July. So that's kind of why we're at this moment. But it seems like neither side can really afford to leave Washington without a coronavirus package passing Congress.
Marianne Levine, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
Also today, Florida's largest teachers union is suing Governor Ron DeSantis and the state's education commissioner to overturn a sweeping emergency order requiring schools to physically open 5 days a week. The measure has made Florida a political battleground over schools in the coronavirus outbreak, as President Trump and Education Secretary Betsy DeVos have pressured states to reopen classrooms to students in the fall despite rises in infections. Governor DeSantis, though, has recently backpedaled on the measure, saying on Monday that the mandate wasn't his idea and putting his own education secretary on the defensive. In their legal complaint, the teachers union argues that the policy, which has been targeted by teachers, parents, and school leaders since it was issued earlier this month, bypasses local leaders and defies national public health guidelines. The move sets up a legal battle that could influence the ongoing fight over school reopening happening across the country. And House Democrats are discussing plans to take up a voting rights package as a tribute to Congressman John Lewis of Georgia, who died on Friday at the age of 80 and was a champion of the right to vote for decades as both a civil rights activist and a member of Congress. Democratic sources tell Politico House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn has been privately leading the effort, which would renew and expand the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and could reach the House floor before the August recess. The package would likely combine some previous legislative proposals to shore up voting access, including a measure restoring a requirement for states with a history of voter discrimination to obtain federal approval before changing voting rules. That measure passed the Democrat-led House in December, but failed in the Senate. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, check out some of our other shows like Pulse Check, Nerdcast, Women Rule, and Politico Energy. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.